live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Coming up a little bit later this hour, around 5:35 or so, Doug Segrist joins us out of Birmingham, formerly with the Nashville Banner, now a co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, as well as a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great as well. We'll be with you until 6 tonight. Chance right now to visit with our good buddy Adam Sparks. He's with the Tennessean, covering a lot of things these days. Adam, first of all, welcome back to the show, and hope your week has been going strong.
Hey, Johnny, how we doing?
We're good. All right, let's start first things first, Tennessee Titans. You know, last year at this time, we were talking about the Titans making it to the AFC Championship game with Kansas City, the only team standing in its way to go to the Super Bowl. We're not having that conversation this year. When you look at the Titans, first and foremost, biggest needs in the offseason?
Well, I mean, biggest needs, first off, is you got to figure out who you can keep under the salary cap. We don't know what the salary cap's going to be right now. A lot of the reporting you see is that it's going to be lower than projected earlier. Some of that has to do with lost revenue because of COVID. And so once we know what the salary cap's going to be, then you got to figure out what can the Titans keep. I mean, I know fans would like to keep Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith and some of the pieces on defense and all those tight ends, even aside from Jonnu Smith. But it's, I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I think Jonnu Smith is especially going to be an issue because that's a guy that's going to have a high market value. Corey Davis will probably have a higher value than maybe what Titans fans would think. But again, that depends on what other teams have, what room they have under the salary cap. It seems to be, this is not going to be like the purge of, you remember years and years ago when the Titans made a run and they basically had to have a wholesale almost all the assets that they had.
Well, yeah, every year they were having to renegotiate contracts and all that just to get under the salary cap.
Yeah, they're not going to have to do that to that extent. I still think they're, if not the favorite in the AFC South, certainly one of the top couple of teams in the AFC South next year. But I don't think it's likely that they have as much talent on this team next year as they do this year. Or they may have as much talent, but it's going to be, dispersed a little differently.
Well, the team that I would be concerned about in the AFC South, yeah, I understand Phillip Rivers, retired yesterday. I get that. But if they find their quarterback, I mean, they have so much money to spend, the Colts do, that, to me, they're in a perfect situation if they can just figure out who's going to lead their offense.
Yeah, and, I mean, the thing is the Titans are just going to have to be smart. They're going to have to be strategic. But last year this past season, they failed with a whole lot of what they did in the off season. We can start with Clowney, but we can go on down the list. And there was failures in free agency. There were failures in the draft with Isaiah Wilson. And they survived that. They overcame those failures. It's going to catch up with them now because, anytime you get high draft picks or you get draft picks, period. Rookies do not cost you. Rookie contracts do not cost you what they did years ago. So,
right.
The way to win in the NFL now is you get the most out of your rookies the first 4 years, and then you usually lose them if they do well. And the Titans, that's catching up with them, and they're going to have to do really well in the draft this year and find some diamonds in the rough, especially with the second and third picks. And they're going to have to make it work because. Their talent that they have now is starting to cost them money, and once you have to hit a lot in free agency like that, you usually don't recoup it. You have to have a little bit more of a rebuild, and the Titans are not in rebuilding mode at all. But they're probably a year away if they don't stay near on the top of the AFC South this year.
And the other thing too, not only having to worry about the player personnel, also trying to figure out the coaching staff as well.
Yeah, I mean, Okay, so they had Matt LaFleur at OC, and then they had Arthur Smith, and you could say that Vrabel was 2 for 2 with his offensive coordinators. And to some extent, that's right, because they both ended up being head coaches. But LaFleur actually didn't have it working when he was the OC. It was kind of just trending in the right direction. Ryan Tannehill's career turned around with Arthur Smith. Derrick Henry was a 1,000-yard rusher, but he wasn't a 2,000-yard rusher with Matt LaFleur. He did all that damage under Arthur Smith. This offense came together under Arthur Smith, and so it's not like you can just go out and find another play caller and make it work. That's a very important position they've got to figure out. And, you know, you were already going to have to deal with the deficiencies on defense, so I don't even know which is the bigger offseason moves right now. It's whether or not keeping the players under the salary cap, keeping the roster there, or it's hiring the coordinators. I would almost argue that it's the latter at this point.
On Monday, we get the announcement. On Monday morning, Jeremy Pruitt out as head coach with Tennessee. And, oh, by the way, Phil Fulmer is announcing his retirement. I didn't buy into that as far as it was his idea. To me, I said it all along that he was forced out. But, you know, because here we are 3 days later, and now Danny White introducing him now as the new athletics director over in Knoxville. And then you decide, okay, we just brought Kevin Steele to be a part of that football coaching staff. So what does that mean? What direction will they go? You basically served up all of your issues as far as your violations to the NCAA. I don't know what this actually means for Tennessee in the near future.
Well, I mean, it shows you that, you know, there's you could probably write a book at the end of this of how campuses, universities are compartmentalized, for better or worse. You know, I think there's at least hints there that Philip Fulmer didn't exactly know what was happening until it happened, that being forcing him out and firing Jeremy Pruitt. You know, I don't, obviously Jeremy Pruitt's not going to know a whole lot about the investigation until it gets to him, so I think that was more late in the process. You had an AD now that's hired, Danny White, that, you know, my colleague Blake Topmeyer at the Knoxville News Sentinel, he reported that they only interviewed Danny White, nobody else. That was the only phone call they had, the only Zoom call they had was with him. So do we really think that, you know, Philip Fulmer's out the door and then they just make one call to Danny White and that's the guy? Or do we think maybe that was lined up beforehand?
You know, that's just like Phil Fulmer saying he decided to step down and retire after, oh, by the way, signing an extension last year. So I'm not buying that either. So at this point, right, whatever they say, I'm not buying any of it, honestly.
Yeah, and then they're paying him essentially the amount that you would pay him as if he were fired.
Right.
I mean, there's fired, and then there's fired, but we're going to make sure your legacy stays intact. And I
because look, when I worked in athletics, I'm not making this up. The only thing what I would have to do is change one word when a coach was being let go. They would have the option to either resign, or if not, they would be fired. And that would be the only thing that would change in the press release: is he fired or is he resigning? Because I guess I'm saving face. I don't know. You still get paid. So I've never – that was really the only thing. And sadly, that's just the way it works. So there was nothing about Monday I was buying into.
Yeah, I've got a similar story. Back when I covered MTSU, Boots Donnelly, the longtime athletic director,
right,
especially longtime coach at MTSU, from what I remember, he was told that, you know, you're going to resign today or you're going to be fired. He said, "Well, I'm not going to resign," and he said, "You're going to have to fire me." Well, by the time he got back to his office, 15 minutes later, there was already a release that said he resigned, even though he never resigned. So that's the way it works. Sometimes you're told you just resigned, and you say, "No, I didn't," and they say, "Yeah, yes, you did." You know,
yeah,
and that's kind of how it worked. I don't know if that's how it happened with Fulmer or not, but it seems to make a whole lot more sense than just him volunteering to retire at this moment.
I've said this, and I don't know, and look, you know, there's programs that all of a sudden don't win like they used to, and I use Alabama, perfect example. You know, they win a national championship in 92, and then you had to go all those years until 2009 when they won their next one. Well, just like, you know, Nick Saban told Mal Moore, the then and now the late Mal Moore, he didn't want the job. In fact, then they offered it to Rich Rodriguez. He took it, and then his wife kind of got into his ear, and he backed out of the job, but he got himself a nice pay raise for himself and his associates over there in West Virginia. But Mal Moore hops on a plane, uninvited, and he has to use his sales ability, and he started on Mrs. Saban. And Mrs. Saban won, returned to the college atmosphere, and the rest is history. My thing is with Tennessee, and I said this, you know, they're number 10, top 10 as far as most wins in college football history. And the fact that they went with Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt, they forgot who they are. You know, they still have this great tradition. They still have a 100,000-plus stadium for football. They still have this incredible fan base, and they almost forget that they have all these things and they have the tradition to back it up. They need to remember who they are when they hire their next head coach.
Well, and, you know, that's going to come all down to the AD now. So, you know, you see the lists that have come out the last couple of days of possible
right.
Coaching candidates. Well, that changes all with the hiring of Danny White. So now two names that weren't necessarily on the initial list, I think, go on the list now. One's Josh Heupel, who had pretty good success at Central Florida, had a 12 or 13 win season a couple of years ago. He's at Central Florida. He could follow. He could follow Danny White now to Knoxville. You've got Lance Leopold, who I think should be right at the top of the conversation. That's the current coach at Buffalo. A lot of people wanted him to get the Vandy job. He had 6 national titles at a D3 school. Moved up to the MAC, has been MAC Coach of the Year two of the last 3 years. 17-4 in the MAC over the last 3 seasons. That's tough to do at Buffalo, but he's done it. He's going to get a big job somewhere. And he was hired at Buffalo a few years back by Danny White when he was the AD there. So that's another connection that, you know, could land him into Knoxville. The list got better once that Danny White was hired. So we'll see if it pays off.
I mean, I'd be told no by Bob Stoops. I would have a conversation with Gus Malzahn. I mean, one of the things that Gus Malzahn can at least bring to the table, and I've thrown this out there, he beat Alabama 3 times since 2013. Tennessee, when's the last time they beat Alabama? Exactly. He was able to beat Georgia twice. You know, here's Jeremy Pruitt, 0-9 against Bama, Georgia, and Florida. My point is this. You know, it's great. You know, you've got this up-and-coming, nice flavor of the month. But at some point, maybe it's a good idea to look for somebody who actually has success with a Power 5 conference.
Oh, I'm pro Gus Malzahn for that job because – everybody is, you know, well, not everybody, but a lot of UT fans have been infatuated with Hugh Freeze, right? Well, because Hugh Freeze beat Nick Saban. Well, he did it twice.
Yeah, but he cheated.
3 times.
He cheated.
Yeah, he cheated, and so he's off the table.
Not only did he cheat. Hey, here's the thing, though, Adam. Not only did he cheat. And look, I had him on my show. You know, the week that everything went down at SEC Media Days, he looked like he wanted to come over and get a hug from me. That's Hugh Freeze. But the bottom line is the fact that he cheated, and then he told everybody, hey, if you think we're cheating, you know, come and follow us around. Well, they did. It's just like Gary Hart, the politician back in the 80s. They followed him around, and they found dirt. I mean, how stupid are you?
Monkey business. Remember that? That was
monkey business. That was the
that was
the boat. Yeah. How smart is that? Follow me around if you think I'm cheating, and they get pictures with him on the boat, monkey business, with a girl in his lap. Yeah, that's really smart. Not Hugh Freeze, but Gary Hart, by the way, from the 80s.
On your bluff.
Yeah. And that's what Hugh Freeze did. No, but that's what Hugh Freeze did in Oxford. And it kind of sounds like to me. Well, I was going to say, it kind of sounds like me, Jeremy Pruitt, kind of thought that, you know, look, I can't just beat Nick Saban up and up. I'm going to have to find ways to bend the rules a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, he's off the table, obviously. He was from the beginning. Hugh Freeze was. Malzahn, I think, should be on the table. I think this hiring of an AD takes Kevin Steele likely off the table. I mean, I'm sure he'll get an interview, but, you know, you're not bringing in an AD to keep the interim coach that you brought in a week ago. You're bringing in a new AD to go and flex his muscle and get the right coach. So, you know, Kevin Steele's got kind of a weird situation now, but, you know, that's fine. We won't shed any tears about him getting the money for the short time he's going to work there, most likely. But Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to sell in Knoxville, but they've got to feel, they've got to go out and approach this search as if they are the school that they think they are.
Well, and, Lane Kiffin, you know, I mean, here's Lane Kiffin. I understand he's Lane Kiffin's trying to get the job again, and my first thoughts are this. If you're a fan of Brady Bunch, you remember the episode where Marsha took a date with, you know, just an average nice guy, right? But then the big man on campus wanted her to go out on to this dance, and so she told the average guy, you know, something suddenly came up. I mean, to me, that's Lane Kiffin. And so, look, Tennessee gets everything they deserve and worse if they decide to go back down that path with Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, I don't think that's the way to go because there's always going to be another job to take, I feel like, with Lane Kiffin. I mean, they would win, I think, with Lane Kiffin, but, you know, you're in an NCAA investigation now. Well, Lane Kiffin's got some of that in his background. Do you really want to tempt fate by doing that?
He spent 1 year at UT, left them for USC. If he takes a job, gets offered and takes a job with Tennessee over in Knoxville, that means he takes the job at Ole Miss for 1 year and leaves them after 1 year. Do you really want that guy?
Yeah, and then what's the next one? What if Kirby Smart's out of Georgia in a couple of years? Does he then jump to Georgia? Nick Saban retires. Does he then jump to Alabama? I mean, you could do worse than Lane Kiffin, that's for sure, but UT should be able to do better than Lane Kiffin. I think
if they remember who, and I keep saying this, if they remember who they are, and not forgetting that, if they remember who they are, then yes, they can do better. But my problem is I don't think they remember.
Well, I think the issue, too, is the coaches think they are that. I mean, you've got to have somebody say yes. And, you know, the last search went terribly because they went around saying, hey, you know who we are. And coaches said, no, you're not that anymore. And, you know, that's important. And, you know, there's NCAA violations, so there will be some kind of sanctions. We don't know how big. There's going to be questions about leadership. Even though Danny White's coming in, he's a very reputable AD. There's still going to be, you know, some past there that right. will give coaching candidates a little pause about who's running the ship here. And so, you know, and the fact that they've had a few coaches and none of them can figure out how to win, coaching candidates are going to ask why that is. So there's some marks against them, that's for sure.
Well, and I go back to the fact that they had no previous coaching experience for a Power 5 conference team, and it's one thing to do like what Butch Jones did, you know, brought his nice motivational stuff from middle school to Knoxville. That worked out great. I go back to the original thought. You know, you have to get yourself somebody who has actually won at a Power 5 conference school. All right, Vanderbilt, you know, Clark Lee, you know, slowly but surely getting his staff together. You know, what's the latest, what's the feedback you're getting with the football program over at Vanderbilt?
Well, I mean, he just got his defensive coordinator from the Ravens. People that are fans of the Titans and Vanderbilt both, which there are plenty of those people, had to give a little bit of a bittersweet take on that. It's like, wait, that's the guy that just put us
right
out of the playoffs, and now we're cheering for him. Okay. So, but Mentor is his dad was the head coach, Rick Mentor, at Cincinnati years ago for a long time.
Right.
You know, well-known coach, been around the college ranks, been in the NFL last, I think, 4 years. They still got to find an offensive coordinator. That's obviously going to be real important with Ken Seals, the quarterback, coming back, and a few other guys, too, that I think they can build off of. But, you know, the staff is coming along. I'm curious to see how – I mean, I think one of the more undervalued hires they made is Barton Simmons, who ran 24/7, recruiting guru, has been on that side of things, and now he's going to be on this side of things.
And a friend to the show, too. He's just like you. He was a friend of the show.
And I mean, he knows the game. He just knows it from the other side. I think that's – I'm going to be interested to see if he can help them in recruiting. Now, how much he can help Vandy, we'll see. I mean, but if you can turn 3 stars into 3.5 stars or 3.5 stars into 4 stars – in terms of the prospects you're getting, that makes a lot of difference. If you coach those right, it can be the difference between a Derek Mason 5 wins, and James Franklin 7-8 wins, you know, and it's I've said many times before, at Vanderbilt there's not much difference between 5 and 7 and 7 and 5. So any little edge that you can get makes a big difference about being a team that's routinely in bowl games. And James Franklin figured out how to do that. Clark Lee is not James Franklin. He'll have to do it his own way. But, you know, bumping up recruiting, I think especially in-state, will help that.
By the way, there's always a Nashville connection. You mentioned the name Rick Mentor, former Cincinnati head coach, and among the other stops. L.C. Cole, former head coach at Tennessee State, took them to a number one ranking in 99. L.C. Cole was on Rick Mentor's staff there at Cincinnati, was also on Nick Saban's first coaching staff at Toledo in 1990 when Nick Saban became, that was his first head coaching job. So there you go. There's always a connection with Nashville.
That's right. Well, as big as Nashville is right now, it's not hard to get. You don't have to go too far to find one.
All right, you're multitasking these days. For our listeners to keep up with all your coverage, what's the best thing for them to do?
Yeah, and print the Tennessean online, Tennessean.com, and on Twitter, at Adam Sparks.
Hey, Adam, we appreciate it. Have a great rest of the week. I know you're going to be busy, and we look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, thanks, Johnny. We'll see you.
Thank you. That's Adam Sparks with the Tennessean. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600, 844-5600. If you'd like to be a part of the show, a quick reminder, you know, on average, a DUI can set you back $10,000. It can also cost you your life. So remember, fans don't let fans drive drunk. This message brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Good afternoon. They're still on the scene of this crash here, 65 southbound at the North Loop. It's not causing a backup, but it's just in a tricky spot. 24 westbound out around Briley Parkway, trying to move that wreck to the site. It hadn't been that bad out here in the last hour or so on 65 down into Brentwood. Old Murfreesboro Pike at Murfreesboro Pike. They were working a crash in Antioch. Check out the Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Princess Hot Chicken, 5814 Elizabeth Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
Pennington Distilling Company is a proud sponsor of WNSR's Pickin' with the Pickers with Greg Pogue and John Burton. Pickers Vodka, Pickers Unplugged Seltzers, and canned cocktails are all available and made right here in Nashville, along with the award-winning Davidson Reserve line of whiskeys and Whisper Creek, Tennessee Sippin' Cream. Learn more by touring the distillery in the nation's neighborhood, by following Pennington Distilling Company on social media, or online at PenningtonDistillingCo.com.
Hey Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Sonia, and it's time to put 2020 in the rear view mirror as I tell you all about Bongo Java. Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company now is also located in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving up fresh, locally roasted coffee and fresh baked goods all day long. For me, it's all about the plain old grilled cheese, and I make it a soup and sandwich by adding the tomato basil soup each and every time. You just simply can't go wrong with it. Looking for something else? The pesto bomb will always steer you in the right direction. House-made pesto, spinach, onions, cucumbers, and tomatoes on your choice of bagel. Open at 7 days a week and brewing up till 2. Bongo Java adds to the great Omni Nashville Hotel experience. That's Bongo Java, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Five State Farm. forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Mostly cloudy throughout the afternoon. Temps low 50s, and those mostly cloudy conditions continue overnight. Lows drop to the mid-30s. Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning. Gradually becomes sunny by afternoon. Temperatures in the upper 40s. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner. Sports Radio
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams, 615-844-5600, 844-5600. We're not quite in the stretch run yet as far as college basketball, Zach. But, you know, when you start hearing about teams like the Duke, Virginia, Vanderbilt's, when all these women's programs canceling the rest of their season, you know, but you're getting into that realm where you've got 14, 15 games under your belt. We're starting to realize, you know, which teams are real, which ones are pretenders, which ones are contenders, not just for conference titles, but maybe can make a run for a national championship. Are you to the point where you're feeling really confident about March Madness this year?
Yeah.
Are you playing the hesitation? Because here's the thing for me. I was so excited about Florida State last year. They won the ACC, and it was a team, you know, what they had a couple of first-round draft picks, lottery picks, as far as the NBA draft back in 2020. But it was a team that I thought was built that, you know, they could make it to the Final Four and win it all. And then the season gets called off. And so I'm not quite ready to say, hey, look, a major thumbs up. Because just when we say that, look, here's Memphis, you know, losing their game last night, Friday night, coming up on Sunday and Monday to COVID-19 issues. And that's the only thing that gives me that hesitation that I'm not going to just assume it's going to happen. I'm playing it by week by week.
I think it's going to happen. This is the only thought that I'll have with it is I would not expect if March Madness – doesn't happen in March. You know, I could see it possibly getting pushed. And they're going to figure it out. There's too much money behind it. And we've already seen all these sporting groups, just doesn't matter, NFL, whatever. If there's money that's going to be made or money that's going to be lost, they're going to figure a way out to do it. And I mean, Lord, look at Big Ten, right? They were all on board with canceling everything, and then they're like, "Oh crap, we're going to lose a lot of money, and it's going to look bad for us." So okay, we'll play. You know? And so since they've already done that, they're going to figure out a way to do this. If they have to make a bubble out of it, why not? They'll figure it out.
And I think the difference too is the fact that unlike football, where you know, think about it, if the season is just now starting, for example, and it goes to April or May or whatever, I mean, you're talking about in a calendar year. In the neighborhood of, you know, maybe 25 to 29 games in football, and you're getting hit. Whereas basketball, if we tell, you know, these juniors or whatever, the one-and-done players, whatever the case may be, okay, the season, it may be April, it could be May, but, you know, they're going to be playing basketball anyway. And, you know, whether you're talking about rookie league games in the NBA or whatever the case may be. And so I don't think it is as big of a deal in college athletics, if for whatever reason it gets pushed back, hopefully it doesn't have to be. But if it does, I don't think it's as big of an issue in basketball as if it had been like that with football.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. Look, that's the thing too. There's way less people. You know, just if we're talking about bodies on the court, on the field, on the sidelines, there's just far less people. So I would not be surprised if they, you know, take a page from the NBA and figure out maybe some bubble-esque, maybe it's not an actual bubble, but something like that to something they've already done, right? Which they did.
Well, they are
first.
Going to the same site. You know, they are, you know, yeah. So we got that in place. So, yeah, well, the same city.
It's going to work. It's going to work, and it'll be fine. And maybe they won't have the fans like we all hope for or used to have those, you know, those big moments, and people talk about how, oh, remember when, you know, these buzzer beaters meant so much more because there were so many people around. But, you know, as long as it happens, and that's all that matters. And you know what? People are still going to tune in. They're going to have record numbers probably because So many people want to watch it. And everybody sneaks off in their office or at school in class and has it up on their phones or laptops or whatever. And that's still going to happen.
You know, the teams from the SEC, first of all, the locks to me, you've got Tennessee, Bama, LSU, Missouri. Those four teams right there, locks. Arkansas, you can almost say they're a lock too. So there's five teams. You're wondering how many teams from the SEC can make it in to an NCAA tournament. So right there, I'm giving you Tennessee, Alabama, LSU, Missouri, and Arkansas. That's a five. Now, Florida, a big win for them, what they were able to do against Tennessee. So that's a nice one for them. But that only gives them a 7-4 record, 4-3, three games above. But they're the old RPI, the NCAA net, they're high. I mean, they were 47th going into this week. And that's really it. Everybody else just has so much work to do. So, honestly, you're probably only looking at six teams, not unless you have a surprise team win the actual tournament. Now, with that said, you know, Auburn, a different team now that they're getting healthy. You know, they entered the week 78th, and, you know, they've got work to do. But Auburn, to me, is one of those teams to watch out for because I think they're very capable of playing themselves in with regards to the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing an emergence of some of these teams, especially in the SEC, that, you know, Alabama, case in point. They've been good lately, but now they're finally taking that step, and they're starting to move into that lane of being the top dog. They're definitely headed towards it, and those are teams that you don't want to play when you know, there's other teams that are looking at them saying, oh, man, I hope they don't get this seed or whatever it is that they fall into because you don't want to play against those guys.
But here's a problem, though, like with Auburn. You know, last night, great opportunity on the road, playing Arkansas. Cooper, their guard, has been back. He's been outstanding and, you know, had 25 points last night. But the problem is Auburn blew a 12-point halftime lead. They lose by two. And so just when you're starting to feel good about an Auburn program maybe being a seventh team from the SEC, now they've started going the other direction. But then again, this is an Auburn team that's very capable of winning the conference tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're talking about Bruce Pearl, who's already gave them the success. We didn't get to play the SEC tournament last year, but you go 2 years ago and they beat Tennessee, a team that Everybody had wrote off, said this is the team that's going to win it all. And, you know, of course, Tennessee ends up not winning anything. They get knocked out of the Sweet 16, but this was Auburn team. It goes to the Final Four. They were a few shots away from going to the big game, and
they had the opportunities.
Yeah, yeah. They have a lot of talent there, and they have a really good coach that can bring them to them.
All right, coming up, speaking of the SEC, we'll talk football, basketball, and more. Doug Segrist joins us, formerly with the Nashville Banner, now a co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340. He's on the way. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good evening. We saw a wreck a few minutes ago up in Madison on 65 northbound up past OHB towards Vietnam Vets. Give yourself a little extra time up through there north of the city. Traffic's on the increase now. 65 down into Brentwood, Franklin. That's actually been in pretty decent shape as they wrap up an accident. Leland Lane at Grassland. 6800 block is Charlotte Pike. There may be some minor injuries involved in that crash out on the west side. Hey, you never know when you might need these guys. Free at last bail bonds, serving Davidson, Williamson, and Rutherford County. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison and check them out on the web at nissanofrivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
It's a Bill King Show.
Whether you like Alabama or not, you're witnessing an unparalleled, unprecedented run. You're living it. You're watching it. You have memories that are deep of it. To be that dominant, you don't get to see that through the years that much. But this right here is crazy. This right here is off the chart. Can't believe it's happening, and they're not slowing down.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now, 615-844-5600.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Time to talk some SEC, formerly with the Nashville Banner. Now he's a co-host in Birmingham on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, as well as a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. Doug Segrist joins us. Doug, hope your week is going strong.
It's great. Thanks, Ballpark.
Hey, so how is this all playing out down in Alabama with regards to what's happening in Knoxville? Get the announcement. Look, no big shocker when you announce that you've hired in-house investigators to check into your football program. To me, it was just a matter of time. The silly hiring last week with Kevin Steele, like, oh, no big deal. So we get the announcement on Monday, Jeremy Pruitt out, and he was handed like on a silver platter with all the to the NCAA, and then Phil Fulmer out of nowhere announcing that he is retiring, and then we find out that it was a forced retirement.
It plays out like a dumpster fire. Now, that said, the hiring of the new AD today,
Danny
was
White,
the
yeah.
first positive sign we've seen in a long time, and shows there may be a plan. But again, usually when something like this is going on, you try not to make it public. So it looks like it's, you know, from the far view, the fans are taking it like it's a political witch hunt as well as anything else. And, you know, it's going to be a while till Tennessee football gets back, because if you got enough to get rid of the head coach for show cause without paying him off his buyout, then you're going to, you know, be on probation a few years. And that's not a good situation when you've got, you know, starters going into the portal. Right now you don't have a permanent head coach, and now you've got to rebuild it. And you're talking about if you just, you know, normally fire the coach under normal circumstances, you're talking about 2-3 years to get back to that point where you were when you hired Jeremy Pruitt to replace Butch Jones. So it's not a good situation from afar.
I was throwing this out there, and it's not like I'm playing Monday morning quarterback or anything with hindsight of 2020. I've always said this. You know, for now that 10-plus years, we're waiting for Tennessee to be what the last time Tennessee was, that run, especially in the 90s. But it's almost like the folks over in Knoxville running things have forgotten what they are. And what I mean by that, you know, they're still number 10, most wins ever in college football history. They've got all these great things, great tradition, great fan base, 100,000-plus seat football stadium, and yet you go the direction, Derek Dooley, Bush Jones, Jeremy Pruitt, not one single guy there with head coaching experience with a Power 5 conference team. What is wrong with that picture?
I think, first of all, it shows how difficult it is to hire people. You know, everybody looks at, well, Alabama got Nick Saban. He was the best coach available. It was a no-brainer, and it was, but they almost ended up with Rich Rod. And, you know, who knows how Rich Rodriguez would have done, but I got a feeling it wouldn't have equaled what Nick Saban did. And before that, they're looking at Mike DeBose, who was a longtime assistant with only 1 year as a coordinator. They're looking at Dennis Franchione, who came from a small school. You're looking at Mike Shula. I mean, so you've seen other programs go through the same thing with kind of mystifying decisions. And you also saw administrations that actually didn't think, kind of thought football took away from the university's mission. And that all really changed even before Nick Saban, when they realized that you can improve your university and raise standards and almost double your size with football playing a big role in that. Because, you know, now you're getting students from all over the country who are enticed to the University of Alabama because it's a great football school. And guess what? Their national merit finalist numbers are off the charts. Record numbers and some of the highest in the country now.
You know, I've thrown this out before, and I think one of the biggest problems facing, you know, your schools like a Vanderbilt, you know, any of your schools that are so accustomed to turning away so many folks that are trying to register as students, that it's a hard concept to understand, wait, we have to turn folks away to be admitted to our school, and yet with athletics, we have to beg people to come. And that's the way, I'm not saying that that's a Vanderbilt beg, and I'm saying that's the mentality of a school's administration, because it goes against everything else they're trying to do as far as the bulk of their student population.
Well, it's a catch-22 for sure. And, you know, I think you have seen particularly the state institutions take a different approach. And you know, Vanderbilt thinks differently than anybody else in the league because they're a private school, because they're so academically base, but you've got to also look at other schools in similar situations like Duke and Stanford that have managed to have not only great academics but great athletics as well, and they put the money and the resources in competing with their peers.
And that's the part that's kind of confusing for me, because when we think about these intelligent individuals on these campuses making these kind of decisions, you know, without the athletic programs, let's just be fair, would we even be concerned about the academics at Stanford or Duke or Northwestern?
No.
Absolutely. I mean, that's sad to say, but that's the reality. And so,
I mean, look at the University of Chicago, was one of the great academic schools, and they dropped football. And I have no idea today if they're still a good academic school. At one time, they were top-notch. They helped develop the atom bomb before World War II. They had some of the world's most renowned scientists. But they dropped football, and I have no idea how good a university it is now.
Yeah, good point. So they've got that in place. I keep throwing out the name. You know, to me, it's like, look, you know, messing around with Group of Five coaches, not working. Gus Malzahn, would he be interested in that job? Knowing that, obviously, it looks like Tennessee will be put on probation of some sort. I mean, heck, even Notre Dame got put on 1 year probation today as far as football. But, you know, with that said, you know, would that be a job? I mean, because at least Gus has shown everybody he can beat Alabama. He did it 3 times. I mean, how? And if he can get 8 wins, 9 wins a year, I mean, knowing how bad Tennessee has been, and you can also once or twice every 4 or 5 years flirt with a run for a college football playoff spot, I mean, is that good enough?
I am not a Gus insider in the sense that, you know, I sit down and talk to him about his possibilities. But I think if he got a call saying, would you be interested, I think the answer would be absolutely yes. Because I think he wants to get – I don't think he wants to sit out very long. I think he wants to get back. And I think he wants to prove that Auburn made a mistake. And the only way you can do that is at a program of on a similar level. And, you know, he knows there would be rebuild. But don't forget the circumstances he took over that Auburn program. You know, what'd they go the year before, 3-9?
Oh, it was awful.
Physics last season.
Yeah.
And the next year they're playing for national title. Now, I'm not saying he can turn it around that quickly, but he has faced bad circumstances before, and I think he'd like to prove himself.
Well, and I personally think that, you know, if Auburn was in a different state, then he would still be head coach of Auburn.
No question. I mean, that is such a big shadow. And the fact that that you can beat Alabama on occasion just raises the expectations. Well, why can't you beat everybody every year? And you know, the fans just got tired of them. It wasn't like the program had, you know, fallen apart. They finished this season about like we expected them to finish, and next year looked good before the coaching change. And now, of course, they're having a lot of transfers as well, and things don't look as promising there. But most people thought next year would be a much better year,
SEC
particularly
basketball,
not playing 10 SEC games.
Good point. SEC basketball, as far as men's side, you know, the fact that, you know, you go down, I mean, to me, it looks like at least six teams from the SEC will probably make it to the NCAA tournament. Auburn, although last night didn't help them, but I think Auburn, now that they added Cooper back at guard, I think Auburn is a team that can make a run over the next month. But did anybody see this coming with Alabama? It's not that they're 7-0. It's the fact that they beat in the preseason poll, they were picked fifth. They beat, so far this year, number one, number two, number three, number four, number six, number seven. They're beating everybody by inside the SEC by 18-point margin of victory. Did anybody see this coming?
No. Listen, everybody thought they would turn the corner this year. Everybody thought they would be a certain NCAA tournament team with the possibility of going into the second weekend. But to start off against the schedule, listen, they've just played the toughest portion of their schedule, and they're undefeated. I think when you look at the first seven games, if they had gone 4-3, people would have said, well, they're right in position there. They're on the bubble again, but now the schedule gets a lot easier. And the way they're doing it, you know, we get lost in this barrage of three-pointers, but they are playing an NBA style of offense. It's not just three-pointers. They are spreading the floor. They are driving to the rim. And if you went back and watched the Stanford game and the Clemson game, the Western Kentucky game, the three games they lost, the shots were all there. They just weren't hitting them. And I'm talking about at the rim. And now they're hitting them against some really good SEC defenses. But particularly start off against, I think, the number 5 and 3 defenses in terms of efficiency in Ole Miss and Tennessee, and have their way. So something has clicked. This team plays with a lot of chemistry and a lot of leadership. I think a turning point was kicking John Petty out of practice. It got his attention, and he has been a totally different player. You're also, this is almost like a mid-major roster in the sense that they've got four veteran seniors who've been through it all before, and they're getting great leadership. And as soon as they can get Bruner, the transfer from Yale, back, they'll be at full strength. And he was really starting to play like everybody expected. I mean, he's just doing all the little things. But between him and Herb Jones and John Petty, it's not just the scoring, it's the defense. Those are probably the two best defenders in the SEC as well are your two senior leaders.
I mean, they're hitting the century mark. I mean, you just don't see that often in college basketball. And, well, when you make as many threes as they make, I mean, no big surprise there. But, yeah, what they've been able to pull off so far, amazing. Now, here's the big challenge. Now that the toughest part of their schedule is behind them as far as the regular season, they can't let up when they're playing down. They can't play down to their competition. So something to watch out for moving forward. All right, as always, Doug, we appreciate you. I hope you have a great rest of the week. I hope you and your family continue to stay safe. If you're not doing so already, you can keep up with Doug on Twitter at DSegrist. Once again, formerly with the Nashville Banner, now a co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340 and a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. Have a wonderful night, Doug.
Thank you, Ballpark. Stay safe.
All right, you too, buddy. All right, coming up, we'll wrap things up with some final thoughts. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good evening. We saw a wreck a few minutes ago up in Madison on 65 northbound up past OHB towards Vietnam Vets. Give yourself a little extra time up through there north of the city. Traffic's on the increase now. 65 down into Brentwood, Franklin. That's actually been in pretty decent shape as they wrap up an accident. Leland Lane at Grassland. 6800 block at Charlotte Pike. There may be some minor injuries involved in that crash out on the west side. Hey, you never know when you might need these guys. Free at Last Bell Bonds, serving Davidson, Williamson, and Rutherford County. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The Big Hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text STREAK to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text STREAK to 321-321 right now. Text STREAK to 321-321. That's STREAK to 321-321.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
At the Home Depot's Days of Doing Winter Bath event, it's never been easier to turn a small project into a big improvement. Start with a wide selection of stylish vanities from only $139. New low prices on faucets starting at only $59. Why not do something nice for your bathroom, your budget, and yourself? Come to the Winter Bath event, going on now at the Home Depot and homedepot.com/bath. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Valid through February 28th while supplies last.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast, mostly cloudy throughout the afternoon, temps low 50s and